if you looked at the date of that hymn's writing, but that was written in 1944, amid a time of turmoil in our world, and even has a little more meaning when we realize written during wartime and needing our anchor to hold in Christ. Thanks, Keith, for leading us in worship this morning. The message this morning is entitled Asking and Receiving, and we're going to be looking at two scriptures. One is in Luke chapter 11, that'll be our primary, and then Matthew chapter 7 is also where we're going to be looking. And in the summer months, I like to oftentimes look at certain scriptures, and in fact, certain scriptures that as believers we should know or at least be familiar with. And this morning I want to look at these two scriptures that share a common theme of prayer, but rather than just an instruction on how to pray, they actually teach us three elements that help us understand more about the process of prayer, and even more specifically, how we go from asking in prayer, how we go from asking to actually receiving in prayer. And this is a conundrum that for many believers stalls them out in their prayer life. We come to that place of asking God. We come to that place of coming before God, and we're looking to receive an answer to prayer. And it sometimes seems that God doesn't really always answer our prayers. It can sometimes be that God doesn't always answer our prayers the way we expect or the way we want. And so this morning we're going to look at how God wants us to move. God wants to move us in our understanding of our prayer life, in our understanding of the way God wants us to come and to pray to Him, in that process then that ensues, that process of asking and receiving. So let's open with a word of prayer this morning. Heavenly Father, I give you thanks that in your word you reveal so many truths to us. Lord, you make crystal clear your desires and your intentions and even the ways that we should go. And Father, this morning as we look into your word, may we glean from your word how to pray, how to come before you and to have a right heart as we do it. Father, we commit these things as we look into your word, and we ask that you would reveal to us this morning. Amen. So the two scriptures I want to look at this morning, the first is found in Luke's Gospel and Luke chapter 11, verses 9 through 10. If you have your Bible with you, you can open up to Luke chapter 11 and verses 9 and 10. And to get a little bit of context, we're going to actually look at verses 5 all the way through 13, and that gives us a little bit of a context. I'll just tell us a little bit of what that context looks like. And we have Jesus here in Luke chapter 11, and we have Jesus making a point, telling a story, making a point about a man who comes to his friend at midnight. So Jesus is teaching a parable to his disciples, and it's a point about this man who comes to his friend's house, and he's had company show up late at night. And this man comes to his friend's house and he says, "Hey, I've got company over at my place. I'm not prepared. I need to borrow a loaf of bread. I need to borrow some food that I can be a good host to the friends that have come to visit me." And so what does this friend do? This is what good friends do. They come to your door and they bang on your door. And that's what this friend does. He bangs on his neighbor's door, and he bangs on it and bangs on it until that reluctant friend finally gets out of bed, and the friend is yelling from the back room, "Go away." Maybe you've done that in the morning. You just say, "Go away, I don't want to get up yet." And it was a similar kind of a thing. He's saying, "Go away, I'm not getting out of bed. The door's locked, the kids are in bed, I'm not getting up." And so what does the man do? Keeps on banging on that door until finally that reluctant friend gets out of bed and comes and gives him what he wants. And here is what Jesus said following that parable. He says, "And I tell you, Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. He continues in verse 11, for what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them who will ask? The second scripture we're going to look at this morning is in Matthew's Gospel, and it's from the Sermon on the Mount, and very similar, where Jesus is instructing the crowds. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, and Jesus says this, he says, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, it will be opened. Or which one of you, if his son asks him for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a serpent? If then you who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good things to those who ask him? Jesus teaches us in these verses, these very similar verses, Jesus teaches us three valuable lessons to help us understand the work of prayer in our lives, and that's what we're going to take a look at. So first of all, in the work of prayer, we have to understand that prayer is an invitation. Prayer is an invitation. Ask and you shall receive. So the first thing we discover is that prayer is an invitation to ask God for whatever is on our hearts. That's what prayer is. It's an invitation to ask God. Prayer is the way we communicate with God. It's the way we talk with him. And there's no wrong way to pray. No one can tell you to pray in a certain way, or that one way of prayer is more right than another. You know, in prayer, you don't have to sound like someone else. You don't have to say, well, those people or that person prays in a certain way. I want to pray like that. See, God wants us to pray out of the earnestness of our heart, and it's not a matter of how we pray or who we sound like or having the right words or just the right tone of voice. That has nothing to do with our prayer life. Prayer is more about us coming to God. Prayer is your personal conversation with God, and it's welcomed. God welcomes our prayer, and not for its eloquence, not for its fancy words, but simply because God loves it when we come to him. And God loves to hear us come to him. Like a good father, he loves it when his children come to him and they say, Dad, what about this? Dad, what about that? Dad, how do you do this? How do you get through this in life? And God loves it just like a father or a mother does when their child comes to them. And God loves us so much that he wants us to know that he is always there. That he is always there and he desires us to come. You are always his child. And that's why he gives the invitation to ask. It doesn't matter if you want to talk about cars or careers or cancer or recording. The action word here is simply to ask. Come to him with whatever is on your heart. Come to him with whatever burden or whatever joy. Share with him. It's an invitation. Asking is an invitation. You know, I remember when I was about 13 to 14, I wanted a motorbike so bad. I had a smaller bike. It was quite a small one for me. I sprouted a little bit, and I just wanted a bigger motorbike. And it was, I could see it. I bought the brochures. I looked through them, and I had exactly the right one all picked out. I showed Dad the picture, right? I said, Dad, look at this. And so Dad saw what I wanted and what I was looking after. And so on the farm, if you're raised a farm kid, and some may not know this, but on the farm, you don't often get paid. So when you work on the farm, you just come and you work on the farm and you actually don't get paid for what you're doing as part of the family. You just do things. And then sometimes, at different times on the farm, all of a sudden, there is something that is given, and it seems to be the thing that that you were really looking for, the thing that you really needed. Now, I'm sure Dad had ulterior motives, because a motorbike was how all of us kids got out to the field to get to the tractors and such and to do farm work. But Dad knew that I really was wanting this motorbike. And as I showed Dad the pictures, we went off to a vacation out to visit my grandparents in Saskatchewan. On the way home, we come right through the middle of Edmonton, which is highly unusual. We always skirted the city. Here we are, and maybe you know it, Skona Cycle. I don't know if it's still there, just down, right downtown, Skona Cycle. And we come driving along, and lo and behold, there's a motorbike shop. I said, Dad, there's a bike shop right there. I said, do you think we could stop? And I'm sure that he enjoyed that surprise on my face when he turned the wheel and we drove in. See, fathers love to give their sons good gifts. God loves to give his people good gifts. And he wants us to ask. My dad knew beyond a shadow of a doubt, I think everybody in our family knew, that I was really wanting this motorbike or really desiring this motorbike. The way of paying for it, I could never do that. And even on the farm, it was a big stretch to spend the money. But here we turned in. And at the end of the day, this bike was strapped into the back of the truck. And it wasn't the one that I was looking at. It was a bigger one. And so that made me drive it a little more careful, because I could only get one foot on the ground on one side. But it was a motorbike. Dad heard my request. God wants us to come. It doesn't matter what our request is. It's an invitation to come. It's an invitation for him to satisfy those needs that we have. Verse 11 reminds us, what father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil and know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give his Holy Spirit to those who ask? See, that's the heart of the Father towards his children. He loves it when we come to him and we ask. So prayer is an invitation. Well, prayer is also an action. The second lesson that Jesus teaches us about prayer is that is explained by two words. And those two words are seek and knock. See, there's two actions that happen in there. So we have an asking component, and then we have a seeking and a knocking component. And these action words are there to propel us forward. See, it's not we just ask and we receive. See, God isn't like a cosmic Santa Claus who we just write a little letter and said, God, I'd like this, and I'll just wait for you to show up with it. God isn't that kind of a cosmic Santa Claus who just gives it to you because you ask. But rather, there's a propulsion, there's a process involved in prayer. That process involves these two words, seeking and knocking. To seek means to actively look for something. And it's that seeking that God wants us to do. He wants us to be on the lookout for his will, for his direction. Most of us have played hide and seek as kids, maybe as adults too. And in hide and seek, if you're the one counting, you cover your eyes and you start to count. And when you open your eyes, do you just see everybody? Well, I hope not. Otherwise, they're really bad hiders. You have to go and you have to do some work. You have to go and start to look for people. You have to go check things out. We used to play when the kids were smaller. They would play outside and they'd play hide and seek, and they used flashlights. So the guy who was looking had the flashlight. Everybody else had to run and hide in the dark. That was a nice safe game. But eventually, you would find people. Right, you have to go and you have to seek where people are at. You have to go and look. And seeking is a process of discovery. And that's what Jesus is getting at here as he teaches us about prayer. Prayer isn't just asking and receiving. It isn't just, oh, I'm going to ask and God's going to give it. And not that God can't do that, and not that God doesn't do that. But God wants us to engage in a process of discovery, a process of seeking his will, a process of seeking what is God's will for us, not what is God's will for the next guy. but a process of seeking what is His will for us. I'm not sure what you're praying about these days, but as you pray, the Lord reveals things to you, and as you begin to have those things revealed, guess what happens? You begin to grow. See, if you just asked and you received, you'd miss this middle part. This middle part where God wants to shape you, where God wants to show you, where God wants to reveal things to you. But He wants you to come and investigate. He wants you to be engaged in a process of discovering what His will is. Maybe it's a career. You're asking God, God, I don't know what you have planned for my life. I don't know what lies ahead. But I'm looking for direction. How do you ever find direction? How do you find? Sometimes you have to go and try things out. Some of the best things that you can do with as a young person is go and get a job. Get a job at a grocery store. Get a job. Here's a good one. Get a job doing labor. And not that labor is bad. Some people are built for it. They enjoy it. But oftentimes, it was in many people's background, you go and you labor hard. And what do you say at the end of a hard day's work? Maybe I should get an education. And so as parents, we go, oh, we want our child to get educated, to do something with their life, and they should get, whether it's a trade or whether it's university or whether it's on-the-job experience, but we want our child to do something. And so we as parents fret, and really the best thing we could do is give them a job working labor. Because that usually tells us if they're going to, sometimes they just excel. They go, hey, I'm in. I like this. And other times they go, you know what, got to be something different that I can do in life. So maybe it's a career that you're wondering about and you bring it to God. Or maybe you're wondering about who to marry or if you will marry and you bring it to God. And in that process of bringing it to God, there's a teaching time. And God teaches us what a good husband or a wife acts like and what kind of character they should demonstrate. Or in work, you learn about work ethic or the value of that you have in placing on your colleagues or your supervisors or how to speak to people. God is training us and teaching us. We can pray about these things, but it's a process of discovery in between. It's a process of discovering. And God wants us to learn those things in that process even before we get the job we're going to do or invest our lives into. He wants us to discover things before we meet that future spouse that He has in store for us. God wants us to go through that process of discovery so that we can understand from Him what His will is, what His direction is for us. See, when we pray, God begins the process of teaching. When we pray, we enter a process of growth through seeking. Well, we also grow through a time of knocking. And I think this is often one of the hardest places in our prayer life, when we go through the process of knocking. And I call the knocking phase really the phase where there's heavy lifting, where there's heavy lifting in prayer, because our prayers are not always answered. Our prayers are not always answered. So oftentimes we have to reach down, we have to pick those burdens up again, and we have to bring them before the Lord, and it's a heavy process. God, I wish You would be able to answer this prayer. I wish I would know the direction that You want me to go in. And it's heavy lifting, and it's heavy lifting because it's not always answered immediately. In fact, some things that we pray about are going to dog us for a very long time, sometimes even a lifetime, before we see movement. And it's precisely in the time of turmoil or in the time of upset or time of angst or even anger that causes us to cry out to God for answers, where God hones our focus. See, that process of heavy lifting reminds us of the burden we're bringing before God, reminds us of the thing that we are asking God for. And it's not that God turns a deaf ear, not that He wants us to get a workout lifting this, doing this heavy lifting, bringing this request to Him on a regular basis. But what it does, it keeps our focus on Him. See, that's what the heavy lifting does. God, I got to bring this before You again. I don't have an answer for it. We lift it up before Him. And it keeps our focus not on our troubles, but it keeps our focus on God. I love the Old Testament prophets because they're great examples of doing exactly this. Over and over and over, they would call out to God on behalf of the people. And they would call out on God that the people would change their ways. Guess where those prophets' focus was? Was it on the people? Were they in there trying to sort things out and get everything lined up? Okay, guys, here's the five steps so you don't make that blunder again. No, they weren't there. Their focus was on God. They would intercede on behalf of the people to God. They would come before God on a regular basis. They would lift that burden up and say, God, these people aren't changing. God, these people have stick necks. They can't turn from the left or to the right. They're not very good at shoulder checkers anymore. And they lift them up and God gets the attention. God gets the focus. See, disappointment in life and unanswered prayers and things that go sideways in life are also opportunities for God to draw us closer to Him. When our focus is on Him continually, that's a time to draw closer. It can be a time of frustration, for sure. It can be a time of asking God why. It can be a time when we throw our arms up in the air and say, Lord, this isn't working. What do I do next? And that is exactly what God is looking for. He's saying, come to me, draw closer to me, and I will take you deeper in your faith. I will take you to places in your faith that you could never have appreciated or comprehended except by going through these dark times, going through these deep waters. So disappointments in life, unanswered prayer, things that go sideways are opportunities for us to draw closer to God. What Jesus is saying is that no matter what comes your way, no matter what stress or hurt or disappointment, what pain, prayer allows it to become an opportunity that turns our focus towards God. It's an opportunity for us to grow as the trial sets in, that we would grow in our faith, that we would grow in our strength. The Lord wants us to keep beating on that door. Beating on that door, He hears us, He knows us, and He has good things in store for us. But sometimes there is a process, and He invites us into that process to keep continually knocking at the door, to keep continually bringing our requests before Him, so that through the tough times, He's able to shape our character and to build our faith. Well, lastly, receiving isn't about getting what we want. And that's kind of contrary to what the Word actually says when we look at the word receiving. Receiving is just simply getting. But we are not going to ask and get always immediately. That's not always how God does it. We don't always get what we want. And that's why in Luke 11:11, we read this: if you then who are evil, and He's talking about our sinful nature, that we have a sinful nature about us, a self-interested sinful nature. And that's why He calls us, refers to humankind as evil. If you then who are evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father who is in heaven give good things to those who ask Him? When we pray, we usually think we know what we want from God. When we come to God in prayer, we say, God, this is my desire. Here is my asking. And the acceptable result is going to be this. God, I want understanding. So understanding is that result. God, I need an open door. So we say, God, I want you to open that door for me so that I can go through. And we pray. And we pray and we tell God what we are looking for. God, here is the result I'm looking for. But isn't it true that so often God has something different in mind? God, in fact, has something even better in mind for us. So that something that we could never have imagined God has for us when we come to Him in prayer. And through the process of bringing our request and seeking His will and discovering His will, the end result of our prayer might be completely different than what we first thought. See, asking and receiving isn't about getting what we asked for all the time, but rather it's a process. And God wants us to enjoy the process as He teaches us and as He grows us. And God gives us answers to our prayers, but sometimes it's not what we asked for. We enjoy the process of discovery, and then we come to this place and we go, well, this isn't really what I was thinking was going to happen. But yet we find joy in God's response. How many country songs are written? There's probably an arm is longer than your leg. How many country songs were written that say, I thank God for unanswered prayers? I thank God for unanswered prayers. We ask, and we ask out of our innocence for what we desire, but God has something even better for us. We can be joyful in unanswered prayers when we realize that God desires to grow us in his understanding of who we are. That God gives us God has a plan to grow us, to nurture us, to show us his will. Prayer isn't really about getting our way. See, if our prayers are coming to God and we're saying, God, I just want my way, then we're praying all wrong. We've got something desperately wrong, but rather it is, God, what is your will? See, Jesus in the garden before he was put to death, he cried out to God and he said, God, not my will, but yours. Not my will, but yours. And when we have that heart of prayer, we understand that what we receive from God, the good things that we receive from God, they come in all kinds of forms and fashions all the way along. God grows us spiritually. God gives us a deeper understanding, a deeper trust of him. How do you get a deeper trust in God? How do you get that? Can you read about it? Can you research it and get a deeper trust in God? No, you actually have to sometimes walk through the deep waters and experience that deeper trust in God. That when you go deeper in life, when things aren't always working out, you realize that God's got this. That you're in the palm of his hand. That you don't have to worry. That's how a deeper trust is built. And when you come across a second situation, a second trial, another trial in life, what do? You go, good night. God is doing it to me again. I'm out of here. If this is what God wants, I'm gone. No, if we've walked through and we've earnestly sought God, if we sought him out and we've knocked on the door to gain understanding and growth, and we go through those deep times, the next time that it comes, guess what? We say, God's got this. In fact, we can stand before the enemy and say, you know what, enemy, is this all you got? Because I learned this last time, and my faith is a little bit deeper today. And if this is all you got, you better try pull something a little heavier, because this isn't going to shake my faith. Why isn't it going to shake my faith? Because I already walked through, already learned, God has already been teaching me. See, the whole key to prayer is recognizing that on our own we can't do it. Left to our own devices, we are going to mess things up repeatedly. We're going to make the same errors, and that's why Jesus gives us these three points about prayer. That he tells us there's a process. We need to ask. We need to go through the process of seeking and discovering. And then when it comes to receiving, we need to recognize that we receive all the way along. That we receive from God all the way along. And we can't do it on our own. But we need the Lord to come alongside. You know, left to our own devices, we're going to mess things up in life, aren't we? Left to our own devices, we're going to mess things up. But when we ask God to come, there is nothing that can't be done. Well, let's take this home. What is one thing we can learn from these passages this morning? What is one thing we can learn? Well, let me illustrate this with a story. A father was watching his son play in a sandbox one day, and he saw the boy dig up a large rock. And the rock was so large that he tried to move it, but he couldn't budge it. And in fact, the little boy, he tried with everything that he had. He pushed against it. He struggled against it. He couldn't move that rock out of his sandbox. And as the father watched, he saw his son growing more and more frustrated. More and more frustrated until finally, in defeat, he sat down and the little boy began to cry. And seeing him in that state, his dad came out and asked him what was wrong. And he told him about the rock and that he couldn't move it. And then his dad said this to him. He said, "Son, why don't you use all your strength?" And the little boy looked up, exasperated, and said, "But Dad, I did. I used all my strength." And the father responded, "But you didn't ask me." And see, church, we oftentimes in our prayer life will go through times of bringing things before God, and we will put all of our energies, all of our efforts into removing those rocks, into those obstacles in front of us, and we use all of our strength, so we think. But if we're not including God, if we're not bringing these things before God in prayer, we're not using all our strength. We have a Heavenly Father who wants to come alongside us. He wants to come alongside and get behind us in what we are doing. We have a Heavenly Father who wants to teach us and grow us through the trials of life. He wants us to succeed and He wants us to move forward. He wants to answer our prayers, but church, we have to ask Him. We have to invite Him to come. "Lord, would you come? Dad, would you come and help me with this rock? I can't move it myself." See, that's the heart that God is looking for in believers. That we would trust Him so implicitly, that we would desire Him so implicitly, that we would grow that close to Him, that we would say, "Dad, could you come?" I don't know about you, but as a father myself, I love it when my kids ask, "Dad, can you give me a hand with this?" I love that. It grows a relationship. It deepens a relationship. And you know, I think the Heavenly Father is just like that. He loves to come. So instead of doing things in our own strength, we need to use all of our strength. And that means inviting God. See, closeness is really, with God, is really the result God is desiring. When we pray, closeness to God is where God wants to lead us. He wants to lead us into that relationship where we are totally comfortable with saying, "God, would you come?" So this morning, I don't know what has been on your heart for prayer. I don't know what you are burdened with, whether it's in our world, whether it's in our own personal lives. But God wants you to use your whole strength. And that's not just your physical strength or your abilities, but your whole strength is inviting your Heavenly Father to come and to help you walk through whatever it is that lies ahead. So what do we learn? What is Jesus teaching us when He says, "Ask and knock and seek and receive"? He's saying, "Come, draw close to me so that I can come alongside you through life." Isn't that a neat way to approach whatever struggle is before us with our Heavenly Father right at our side? Let's pray. Lord, we give you thanks today that you are that kind of Heavenly Father that desires good things for your children. Father, we ask this morning that in our hearts, as we pray for those things, as we look at unanswered prayers and maybe even some of the frustrations that have come to us in life, Father, we ask this morning that we wouldn't get caught there, that we wouldn't get hung up there, but rather, Lord, we would see the bigger process, the bigger picture of what you are trying to do in our lives, that you are building us into a people of faith. Father, that you are drawing us closer to you, and as we draw closer to you, so does our confidence grow in knowing that you are able. And because you are able and we are a child of yours, Father, you come along with us. And Lord, when you are with us, there is nothing that is impossible. There is nothing that is beyond your reach. And Father, we give you thanks that that's the kind of dad you want to be to us. Find us faithful, Lord, in calling out to you. We pray. Amen.
So we come to the end of our worship service this morning, and Pastor James gave us a lot of things to think about prayer and how they apply in our own lives. And I would just say, dear friends, you don't know what's coming into your world this week, just like I don't. And so I want you to turn to number 636 and help me sing the first two verses. And I think there's a little, or not a little, but a lot of good advice in these verses of 636. Will you